Good morning again, everybody. Amen. We're in a series called The Promise. If you're a guest, you might want to go back and get on the website and kind of come back and catch up with us. But today we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. And how important the covenant of promise is for you to be able to step in to a place where you're walking in the Spirit, and through the Spirit, you're able to be a blessing to God's grander purpose in your life. Anybody want to be a blessing to what God's doing in the earth? Amen. And He chose by way of His Spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And I want to encourage you, that includes your relationships around you, your marriage. Amen. Without His Spirit, you cannot have a successful marriage. You cannot have healthy relationships. With God, it's possible. Without Him, nothing is possible. Can we all concur on that? And so when we talk about the promise from heaven and being empowered, we find out that Jesus tells His followers before He leaves in the clouds, He says, now, and I'm gonna give you my version of it. He said, don't even try to be a witness until you be endowed with power from on high. Now, the King James says, tarry here in Jerusalem until you're endowed with power from on high. Same thing. Without God, we cannot be witnesses of the kingdom of God. And I haven't met anyone that says they believe in Jesus that doesn't want to be a witness. They want to let people know that they're associated with this one called Jesus. Amen. And so I ask you the question, in our Christian world, a lot of people, without being judgmental, that's not the point here. I'm just telling you, all I got is my own personal walk with heaven that helps me know where we battle. I look in the mirror and deal with the guy I'm looking at. So I'm not preaching at anybody here today. I'm just giving you what God gives me based on my personal relationship with Him and how He's worked with me and changed my life in the process. And I've got scars, and I've got challenges, and I've got days I don't like talking about, but I get to talk about it because, amen, it helps you get out of your ditch when you're in one. Amen? And so it's with the presence of God that I'm able to move forward. It's without Him I can do nothing. And so many people are saying, I'm a follower of Jesus, but those same people aren't following Jesus. Because there's evidence when you follow Him that you're a follower of Jesus. It's like our world. They're not attracted to Christianity, but they are attracted to Jesus. Christianity across the board, which means Christ-likeness, the enemy goes to church. And a lot of people that say they're Christian are not being Christ-like, and the world is turned off by it because many take the Christian walk and use it for their advantage in the world. And the world has lost its desire for Christianity. But they will tell you now, if you can take me to Jesus, now I'm interested in Him. And that's a common thought among the millennials. You know, it's like, don't tell me, show me. Is there any millennials here today? We got a couple of them. It's like, man, you know, I've seen enough play, I want to see the real thing. I've heard enough talk, give me some evidence that Jesus exists, and I'm in. Amen? And so I've been going through this series called The Promise to challenge every one of us that Jesus is real and He's available. Matter of fact, He's been knocking on all of our doors. And He's been talking to every one of us. And He's not spooky about it. He loves us. He's trying to get us to let Him in so that we can enjoy the best that He has to offer. And so today, you have an opportunity because you've made a decision, because no one comes to God except the Spirit draw them. The fact that we were smart enough to come and gather in this building is not the case. We're here today because we're attracted to needing God in our life. And we chose to get up. Amen. Not because we're smart, and everybody in this room has probably got high IQs. I'm not challenging your IQ. I'm challenging something else, your true identity. Amen. Where we're going amen, we can't take any credit for. It's a God thing. And you're here today because of the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ, not because of anything else. Can we agree on that? And so we arrived here at this place, and an opportunity is put in front of us to choose him today. We can choose life or we can choose death. It's your call. The choice is with us every waking day. Amen? And so I want the best that God has to offer. And I know me. I bring failure into my life without God. I've trusted in the arm of the flesh. I've trusted in how I think. I've trusted in my reason. I've trusted in the realm of logic. And it has not gotten me anywhere that, amen, is nothing but death. Amen. Most of the things that I come up with out of logic promotes me. But when I get something from heaven, amen, the download hits here in my spirit, all of a sudden I know what I can't explain. It brings life. Amen. And we go with it. Anybody need that kind of dynamic to happen in your life today? You need heaven to touch earth. And heaven came 2,000 years ago when Jesus was preaching the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and believe the gospel, the good news. And repent wasn't a bad word then. It's a bad word today. But repent then was simply, hey, the way you've been thinking ain't helping you change the way you think. Amen? What you've been thinking about is not good stuff. Start thinking about the right kind of things. Amen? Because the kingdom of heaven is waiting on someone to give him his heart or your heart. Amen? Or her heart. Right? God wants our hearts. And he wants to be king of his kingdom within us so that through us and from us, he can fill the earth with his glory, his goodness. Amen? We can't explain that, but somehow we know that's true because we're all wired the same way. We're all put together the same way. We all have the same God DNA within us that causes us to know something we can't explain. And that is what's attractive about God to everyone in this room. No one in this room is attracted to religious ideas. They're not attracted to forms that have no power. Every one of us is attracted to something, amen, that validates our existence and our identity and who God says we are. And so he gives us a promise. Amen. That promise is covenant promise. And that covenant promise simply equals us allowing him to come in and be king of his kingdom. And he does that, amen, by giving us an experience that's beyond our understanding. It's joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. Amen. And that's all Christianese to the millennials. Amen. And to the next level of young people. What in the world did Pastor Lowe just say? But the one what I'm confident about, this is what I'm confident about. You may not understand it, but something inside your spirit says, that's right. Yes, I think I want to be a part of that. Amen. And so you don't have to be able to explain God to walk with him. You don't have to be able to give a Bible study to be used by God to be a witness. You don't have to be able to quote the text of the scripture to be validated by God that you're a believer. All he's asking for is your heart. And the beautiful thing about how God put you together is he gave you this powerful makeup inside of you that says, I can feel him. And you can feel him. Every one of you right now in this room know that he's around. I can feel him. And you feel the presence of God. And he says, I'm not far from anyone that feels after me. And so if you need God to come on the scene, I mean, you can be right in the middle of doing something real stupid and say, you know what? I don't want to keep doing this. This is not what I need to be because this is not who I am. I'm going to turn my heart to heaven. I'm going to feel after God, and he'll meet you right there in a ditch. He'll meet you on the bottom of where you're at. You can be on Skid Row. You can be on Bourbon Street drunk and on drugs or whatever and knocked out. But if your heart turns to him, he'll meet you right where you're at. He loves you. He cares for you because you're powerful and he's into you. He's already purchased you. You've been bought by the price of his own blood. You're not your own. Even though you may not have chosen to go with him today, you're not your own. You're bought already. And we'll act like we own ourselves. Anybody know how to do that? We've all done it. And we've all done it more than we want to talk about. And he'll let us act like we're in control until we get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Because being in control ain't never helped anybody in this room or anybody on this earth. It's when we come to the resolve that he's going to be Lord in my life that, boom, all of a sudden the miracle happens. And so we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. They have to have a platform. They have to have a representative to work through. They're not just going to work without somebody that lets God use them to work them. And it's still the truth. The Lord's saying, I want to work, but who will let me? Amen. Now that don't match any logic, does it? But we know it's true. And so I want to read from you in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. I may have told her it was 1 Peter, but if the scripture's not up there, just listen to me. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and our Savior. Keep in mind, the only way we can have faith is because he's just and he's fair. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of the marvelous glory, or his marvelous glory and excellence. Now, to some of you thinking, man, that's a lot you just said there in that verse. Let me help you. God has given us more and more grace and mercy. How did he do that? That's multiplied by our knowledge of him. And that word knowledge means intimacy. So help some of you today. You cannot go and study your way into grace and mercy. You can't get smart enough to get grace and mercy. Because the original Greek on that word means intimacy. The same intimacy when Adam knew Eve. God made him coming to his house a wonderful event. God put it together in such a way that when he comes into your heart, there's something that happens that's so intimate that you now know, amen, you have his grace and his mercy. You have come into the knowledge of him. You now are intimate with him. And from the very beginning of time, it was his plan to be intimate with humanity. He chose you to be the apple of his eye. And through humanity, it was his plan that Adam would tend to his business, would tend to his garden, would tend to all the people he loves. God chose you to be the platform by which he reveals himself to this earth. He will not do it any other way. I don't know if this has happened to somebody yet. That when we let him come the way he designed us to let him come, which he don't change, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the same promise he gave 2,000 years ago is the same promise you get today, 2,000 years later. God never changes. His message never changes. His gospel is an everlasting gospel. There's only one gospel. Should help somebody. And so, he don't come any other way so that we can see his glory revealed. He comes this way in his intimacy. And John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, said, "Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." He is going to baptize you with spirit and with fire. And when you begin to go follow the event, the experience of the baptism of spirit and fire, it happens the same way in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the utmost parts of the earth. It happens identically the same way. And in our world, our religious world, our religious spirits have discounted this experience that makes all the difference in your life. And most people that are, quote, believers in Christ or followers of Jesus have yet to experience the baptism of fire in their life. How do I know that? Well, just look at their life. There's no salt. There's no light. There's no evidence that Jesus is Lord in their life. Their marriage is on the rocks all the time. Or they're married over and over and over again. And it's not their fault, it's the other person's fault. Isn't that amazing? And we can get all kinds. Did you know that we've got just enough logic in our life that we can get the Bible to back up any decision we make? That's how messed up our world is. That they'll actually take the book called the Bible and get as many scriptures as they can to support stupid. In Jesus' name. That's messed up. Now that hit home, didn't it? It's not okay that I'm not having fun today. It's not okay that I have to act like a grown-up all the time when God says, you can't have any part of me unless you come as children. Because children is a type, and as such is the kingdom of God. Now, the gifts need a platform to operate, ladies and gentlemen, don't they? And God's not going to, he's not going to reveal himself to your community. He's not going to reveal himself to your household. He's not even going to reveal himself to you unless he has somebody that he can use to show you how powerful he is in their life. He has to have a vessel. He has to have a representative. And he's chosen you and I to be his representatives. And until we say yes, Lord, to his will, we keep going through all kind of stuff. And we can go to church every day. I mean, you can go to a four-month revival and still never let Jesus in. And because you showed up to every revival service don't mean you're where you need to be. Is that okay? And so the gifts of the Spirit are valid for every one of us. And they're necessary for us to be effective as believers and sons and daughters of the kingdom. Without them, we cannot move forward in our identity. And I've only got just a little bit of time to finish this thought to y'all. Help me, Lord. And so I want to point out three and four important factors that go along with you and I being used by God in the gifts of the Spirit that is overlooked in our church world. But yet, it's right there in the book called the Bible. Amen? Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And by the way, every one of us fit in these three groups of people on some level or not, or the other. And this all depends on whether or not you're letting God use you. In other words, there's a group of people who believe it's just hard to receive God. And they're wondering why they're not having the evidence of God in their life. And they've come to grips with this idea, it's just hard for God to receive God. And the only reason it's hard is because there's a mental block. There's a fear of failure. There can be multiple ideas and thoughts that you're entertaining that makes you think, you know, this being filled with the Spirit is just hard. And then there's another group of people who reach for it and have experienced just disappointment after disappointment. Maybe it's because of how they've been impacted by their religious influence, religious ideas. I call it Christianese antics. You know, they've seen some kind of interesting stuff go on in the church, and I don't want to be a part of that foolishness. You follow me? And they create this mindset that says, dude, I've been so disappointed, I don't want to be around any of that. And so, man, when you're with Jesus, it's all great. But when you're with somebody that's immature, it's kind of funky, right? And so it's not attractive. And then you have the group of people that those who do all the right things, but they still haven't experienced it. Amen? They from their logic, their religious ideas, the way they hold their mindsets about God, the church, and the world, amen, they think they've got the Bible figured out, but still haven't experienced it. So it must be just for them back then. Ever heard that before? And that's going on across the board in our world everywhere. Professed ministries that haven't yet experienced the Spirit and fire have discounted its necessity because they haven't experienced it because they're in pulpits today. Pastor Lowe, you didn't need to say it like that. Yes, I did. Because the enemy goes to church. And the enemy comes as false apostles and deceitful workers. And there's more of them than there are the true ones. And I'm not standing here telling you I'm a true one. You have to decide that for yourself. I'm on a journey with Daddy. And he's working in my life. And he's developing my spirit. Amen. And I can encourage you, I encourage you to let him do the same thing. But I'm telling you, the enemy's at work. And the enemy goes on platforms in churches all over the world today, and he's discounting the baptism of spirit and fire everywhere. The intimacy between God and man, he's trying to cut it off, because if you ever have an intimate relationship with God, he loses influence. The enemy loses influence in your life. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, now about gifts of the Spirit, brethren and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, how somehow and others, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Well, Pastor Lowe, that don't apply to us. We're not making idols. We don't have idols, and we got little. Yeah, but idolatry is more than just a little trinket or a little statue. Idolatry is what you give your heart to. You can go check your bank account. You can go check your schedule, and you can find out if there's idolatry in your life. When something has more influence than he has in your life, that's called idolatry. That'll help some of us today. Amen? And so we are blessed as people that are sitting here today listening to what the Spirit would say to us. We're blessed to be a blessing. God has set you up to be his platform to pour his glory into the earth. And so the first thing that's important about us being used by God and letting his gifts work through us, and there's three of them that I want to point out to you this morning. Number one is the gifts of the Spirit direct our steps so that we're not tricked by the ploy of Satan. Amen. Notice how 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3 says it. Therefore, I want you to know that you're not, that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed. Amen. Let me say it like this. The enemy is going to work overtime to take out of your vocabulary what God is saying. All he needs to do is put just a little leaven in it to leaven the whole lump. Can we all agree with this? That's Christianese again. I'm sorry, millennials. I'm trying to. You ever made bread before? And unless you put some leaven in, it's not going to rise. True? But you can just put a little leaven in bread that's normally unleavened bread. Just a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I mean, it's going to get all through that bread. And it's going to all rise, get puffed up. Is that true? Does that help you? And so the enemy knows that you can have 99.999% of truth. All he needs is just a little bit of deception in it, and the rest of it is spoiled. Is anybody tracking with that? Who said this? The Lord said this. This should really challenge everybody, because everybody know I love my grandma. I love my grandma. But she ain't God. And she prayed me in to the church. She prayed the presence of God on me. But she still ain't God. She's a representative. And she didn't know all of God. But the temptation is, oh man, the way grandma did it, that's the way I'm going to do it. That's my temptation. Because he's grandma. Right? But there's leaven in that. She ain't God. She's a vessel of the Holy Spirit, but she didn't know all of God. She had access to all of God, and God was working on grandma, amen, until God took my grandma. But the fact is, grandma shouldered me to a certain level of relationship with God with the intent, and she spoke this in my life, son, you got to keep going. You got to leave those things which are behind. I done my duty. I showed you here. You keep going because God's going to keep giving more revelation and more insight and more, amen, is coming. Don't depend on me to be your landmark. God already set the landmark. This grandma talking to me pretty straight. God already done set the landmarks. And those landmarks, let me help you with it. He's telling his disciples, he said, look, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Well, if you, dude, you're talking about the religious teachers. I mean, they're the Levites of Israel. Don't mess with the teachers. Don't touch them. Jesus is saying, no, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And finally, he has said, I'm not talking about bread. I'm talking about the things they tell you. Beware of it. And notice when he's saying this, he goes, the next thing he says, now, I want to ask you a question. After he tells them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and how that religious doctrines can get into your life that separate you from God. And you think, man, this is the way to get to God. And it's not the way to get to God. He says, the next question, he says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? It's helping somebody here today. Because when we get to the second point, which is a very powerful point. And when he asked that question, of the 12, only one could say, thou art the Christ. Quoting the King James. You are the Christ. You're the Son of God. And Jesus looks back at the one that could do it, and his name was Peter. He said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And he says it upon this intimacy that you've had, this connection between you and God, this is how I'm going to build my church. This should be helping somebody. He lets them know the religious group ain't how I'm going to build my church. The way grandma and granddad did it, that's not how I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church being intimate with each one of my body members. There's going to be intimacy. There's going to be an experience that supersedes, amen, any logic. You're going to begin to know things you can't explain. Not because you're smart, but because you said, yes, Lord, I want life. And because you surrender to life, now he has a platform to manifest in your life and be impactful to others. We ain't even got to others yet. We're just trying to get the relationship where it belongs so we can help somebody, right? But I got to get help first before I help somebody. I got to get myself positioned to where God has total, amen, access to my heart, my mind, my mouth. And all of a sudden now, he can manifest. But he's not going to do it until we let him get intimate. And when he gets intimate, all of a sudden, man, I was a dummy. All this stuff I've been thinking about God wasn't true. Did y'all know that? Your idea of God has to fall because you don't know all of God. And the idea that you have of God can be idolatry to you. Your knowledge of God is limited. And it has to fall. And then you get this next level of, oh, man, I know God more than I used to know it. That's got to fall too, so you can get the next level. And it's going to be that way for eternity for everybody because he's that big. So let me say it bluntly to you. Unless you get this experience with God down pat to where he can come and be intimate with you, you're never going to really get any revelation of who he is without that. And you can't give away revelation you hadn't got. But the only way you can get it is through baptism of spirit and fire, not one time, but every day. Every day. Every day you get up and you give the Spirit liberty to have his way. And out of your belly, out of your innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. Guess what those rivers include? The gifts of the Spirit. And no one. Number two, can call him Lord, but by the Spirit. Let me read that to you here. Amen. Point number two. Amen. And we're empowered by God's Spirit to confess Jesus as Lord. Amen. Verse 3, 1 Corinthians 12. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking of the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one says Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The experience of Spirit and fire is when you have the Holy Spirit. And only then can you acknowledge Him as the King that He really is. I just feel this. Pause for a minute, just for a few moments. Look, it's obvious that we're going through challenges with our relationships. And it's obvious, and I'm going to say this so we can move into the next point here in the next few moments, that we can only love God as much as the person we love the least. Oh, yeah, that word came through 21 days of prayer and fasting. Brother Jeffrey, if y'all hadn't met Brother Jeffrey, y'all didn't meet him. But God was saying that to other people. You can only love God as much as the person you love the least. And for you to go after the person you love the least, guess what you're going to need? Power. Because ain't nobody in this room without God going to go after the person you love the least. Because you want to kill them. You want to knock them out. You want to give them a piece of your mind. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You got revenge. No, Pastor, I'm a believer. No. Because Jesus ain't where He belongs in your heart, you're thinking about how can I get them back in Jesus' name. And that may be your spouse. Pastor, man, quit meddling. This is so important for you to be happy. He wants His kids to be happy. He wants His children to be fulfilled. He wants His children to have the best. And the only way we're going to ever have the best is when He has liberty in our life to come to us, amen, unrestrained, amen, committed. I am not letting the voices that, come on, everybody thinks some stupid thoughts during the day. And are we all challenged to cast down every thought that exalts itself above God and bring it to the obedience of Christ? Everybody agree with that? And how many times during the day you think, my goodness, why am I thinking that? Man, I shouldn't be thinking that. Well, but why won't you stop thinking that? Well, I can't. Well, you can if you will let Him in. That's why the Spirit baptism in fire, in the presence of God, that fire is His passion for you. And when you let Him come to you with His passion and give you an experience of how much He cares for you, guess what happens inside of you? You get a fire of passion turned back towards Him. And when that fire of passion in you, amen, gets turned on towards Him, guess what? You can cast down every thought that brings itself above God and bring it under your feet. And most everybody's challenge that goes to church is their thoughts are what hold them captive. And they don't even realize it. Most Christians don't realize it. When you think of a negative thought that don't equal Christ, that's a voice of the enemy. That's the devil talking to you. And he don't want you to know that's him talking to you, but he's pushing your button. And the only weapon he has is thoughts to knock you down. He don't have anything else. And so he'll send waves of thought, and it'll always be connected to somebody you want to knock out. It'll always be connected to somebody, amen, that's offended you. Your boss, your spouse, a sibling, a cousin, a teammate. And then the list goes on. The person driving down the road that cuts you off. Amen, you reach for whatever you had in your car that was not supposed to be there. And you want to take care of that. See, those are all the enemy at work trying to take out, amen, you out of your true God-given identity. And all he works with is thoughts. And the thing about it is, he puppets us with it. And he has a way of making you think, that's just me. That's just me. And eventually you'll start agreeing with, that is just me. And man, I deserve to have it my way today. Amen? But when you're on fire for God, when you have the fire of God in your spirit and you're in fellowship with him and y'all are passionate for one another because you're in love with one another, you're in a relationship that's covenant-based, you can get slapped by somebody and you will turn the other cheek. And when you turn the other cheek, guess what that does? That ministers to the person that just knocked you out. Because you offered the other side. And they're thinking, you got something I don't got, and I want it. And it ain't money. It ain't fame. It's life with a capital L. Y'all see how the gifts of the Spirit want to operate? And it wants to operate through all of us. Amen? Thank you, Father. And so, you cannot, without the Spirit of God, confess that he's Lord. Third thing, and I'll close with this thought in the next few moments. Amen. The gifts of the Spirit bring value to our relationships. Amen. The gifts of the Spirit will help you put the enemy under your feet. The gifts of the Spirit will help you confess that he's Lord and bring revelation after revelation. Amen. But the gifts of the Spirit bring value to all of your relationships. To the point that you begin to love God, amen, as much as you love the person you love the least. And all of a sudden, you start loving everybody around you. And you start making room for those that have brought great pain to your life, amen, to let them know there's a better way. And you're ministering to them the nature of the kingdom. I remember, ladies and gentlemen, a business owner in my 20s, owned Lowe's Carpets Warehouse. I loved making floor and designer rugs. And in business, my business that I was building was all relational with our community. And I remember this one particular opportunity I was given to meet a new family through the business. And they wanted a certain rug, and they wanted it bound a certain way. And I had only one source that offered that. And so I got with the source, the broker, and we made the contact, and we decided that they needed it done by this time. And the broker said, oh, no, not a problem. We got you covered. And it was a holiday. They wanted to have that rug in their home before this particular holiday. And so I relayed the message between the broker and the customer that it can be done by this date. But about a week into it, they're having problems on the broker's end, and so I'm getting information that it's going to be put off, but we still can make the date. And it was going to make it very narrow. And so I'm relaying the message to the customer, amen, what's going on? And sure enough, the broker did not come through. And the customer comes down to the office very upset. Now, keep in mind, I know I've done everything I can between the broker and the customer to make sure the product gets there on time. I've been very truthful. I've been communicating. That was just the way I was taught. He comes in, and I mean, he unloads of his frustrations, and obviously he's letting the people down because it didn't arrive and it didn't show up. And after he got through unloading in front of my employees, giving me, that's when I lost my hair. He blew it all off. It just didn't come back. I said, sir, after he got through, I said, look, it's here. I know we missed the date. Didn't mean for it to happen. I was working diligently, hoping it wouldn't happen. I was concerned. That's why I called you several times. But we want to give you the rug. We don't want you to pay anything for it. And he said, I don't want it. Man, he was upset. I said, but I'm going to keep it here. It's yours. I apologize for any of the trouble. And we watch him go out the building, and my staff is watching too. And he gets to his car, and he stops with the door open. He just stood there. And then he eases the door shut, and he comes back in there and says, look, I shouldn't have acted that way. I shouldn't have said those things. And I want you to know I'm sorry for letting that happen. I said, I'm sorry you went through what you went through. I'm sorry you were frustrated. I said, the rug belongs to you. And he says, no. He said, we're going to do this the right way. Does this happen to anybody today? I'm an American. As far as my citizenship is concerned in this world. But when God looks at me, he don't see an American. He sees an ambassador. When he sees you, he sees an ambassador. You're from another country. And he's given you the means by which to serve citizenship's paper all over the world. And the only way you can live up to your identity as ambassadors of God is to let him be king of his kingdom within. And our world is hurting. Our world is troubled. I live in America, but I'm an ambassador of another kingdom. I pray for my country, but my real country is the kingdom of God that lives within us. And until you catch this and you let God come like he wants to come, and he's all over you right now. He's as close as you'll let him be right now. He's as real as you'll let him be right now. Yes, there's challenges that every one of us have to deal with between the years. Amen. And sometimes our faith is low because we've been impacted by all kinds of winds of doctrines and all kinds of thoughts. And yes, we're doing things we shouldn't be doing that don't reflect his identity. That does not bother him. He was noted to be a friend of sinners. You would catch him in the leper colony touching the lepers. He was attractive because he was all in bringing people up to who he says they are. Whatever your challenge may be today, whether it's sin, whether it's rebellion, whether it's just wickedness, iniquity, and the list goes on, that the enemy will cause you to feel like God will never look your way, that's a lie. This thing that he's planned for you and I is light and easy. Anybody can step into it. Anybody at any time. If you're breathing right now, he's after you. And I know the religious demons have said, oh no, not everybody's breathing because some of them have blasphemed God and they ain't got no hope. I've heard that lie. And yes, people are blaspheming God. You know why they blaspheme God? Because they're doing the very thing he can't forgive. He can't forgive unforgiveness. So likewise shall your father do to you if you do not forgive your brother. Ladies and gentlemen, we're called to impact the world around us. And God has given us a mean to be effective. If you're holding offense in your heart, what you're doing is doing the very thing the cross came to do. You're blaspheming his forgiveness to the world. Why would I want to hold someone in prison when he's already let me go? And if you're doing that, you put yourself back in prison when you put someone in prison. And you'll stay in prison until you release the brother you put in prison. What's got to happen, Pastor? Man, I want to knock him out. I'm all upset. What's got to happen? It's time for you to let him come fill his house up. It's time for you to let him come with his passion, which is his spirit and fire, and take over in your life until you get a passion for him. When you get a passion for him, you'll fall in love with everybody else. And you won't be subject to the fact that, amen, I'm bound because I can't release somebody. And all of a sudden you recognize your love factor for God just went to another level. How do I know that? Because of your love factor. He loved you in a way that you could love people you wasn't loving before. Could we stand? Whatever's blocking you mentally on letting God in, whether it's the way grandma did it, grandpa did it, or a denominational persuasion does it, beware of leaven. It leavens the whole lump. You're not grandma and grandpa and your denomination gonna be standing with you when you stand before God. He's not standing with you now. You stand before him, you and him. It's you and him. What you gonna do? Clear the mental block out. If you're the only person in the earth, he dies for you. Anybody want to let him come and show you his passion for you? As I'm praying for you the next little bit, could you just got to just, I don't have to pray for you. The team don't have to pray for you, but we're here to pray with you. You can just come up and just be with you in Jesus. You're standing before God. Judgment begins at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, the apostle said, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? The gospel comes with spirit and with fire. It's a covenant between God and man. It's a promise. And nobody in this room can be a witness until they be endowed with this power from on high. The experience happened in Acts 2, happened in Acts 4, happened in Acts 8, happened in Acts 10, happened in Acts 19. You get home, read your Bible. The same experience that happened to the believers then is the same experience supposed to be happening today. If that experience ain't happened in your life, then you don't know how to love yet. You don't know how to love yet. Your best days are before you. Don't look at it from a negative lens. Boy, I've been missing out for years. No, today is the day of the Lord. Now is the appointed time. What you gonna do about it right now?